And, you know, this is a, okay. This is a ongoing conversation. So feel free to interject as needed. And like I said, I do have a hard break at 2:30. So we'll talk a little bit about the IRA fee, the purpose, use, and guidelines. We'll review the application process, the award process, and the calendar. I'll give you some insight over the fiscal year 22, which is next year, for those that aren't used to that vernacular. Fiscal year 22 starts July 1st of 2021 and ends June 30th of 2022. So from as far as the vernacular goes, whenever you see fiscal year 22, they always consider this the end of the year when denoting what a fiscal year is. So hopefully that makes sense. The IRA committee role and responsibility, and then application review and timeline, challenges and opportunities, okay? So as far as the purpose, IRA fee was initiated in 2002 to provide financial support for beneficial educational experiences and activities that supplement the fundamental education mission of an institution that cannot be paid for with tuition. The purpose of the committee is to provide oversight to the IRA fee and provide recommendations to the Student Fee Advisory Committee, as well as the provost, on adjustment of the fee. So any adjustments, a reduction of, or increases to, have to go through the Student Fee Advisory Committee and have to be approved by the student body. The goal of the IRA fee is to provide support for essential educational experiences and activities that aid the fundamental educational mission of the institution. Qualifying uses, all of those are defined by the Education Code 89230. And I'm going to open that up right now and share with you. What is that about? Tell me if you can see this. Are you able, did the transition take place? Are you able to see a different page?
We're still on the slide.
Okay. So this information is on our website, okay? So what governs IRA is not something that is determined at a local level. So our campus can't simply say, this is how we're going to use IRA. IRA fees are governed through statute. They are directed by the state, and then the CO office reviews collections and that sort of thing. But we as a campus and every other campus are governed by what's in statute, and that is listed here. So I'm going to give you a very high level overview, but when you're going through the application process, one of the things that you're going to need to do is evaluate the proposal in front of you against this level of criteria. I will tell you personally, when I read through this, it is a huge door, huge window. I think we have some flexibility here, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that later on. But generally speaking, the state gave us some very basic guidelines to work with. For example, IRA means those activities and laboratory experiences that are at least partially sponsored by an academic discipline or department and that are, in the judgment of the president of a particular campus, with the approval of the trustees, integrally related to its formal instructional offerings. So, you know, whatever we use IRA for has to be in conjunction with whatever offerings we have here on campus. Activities that are considered to be essential to a quality educational program and important instructional experiences for any student enrolled in the respective program may be considered instructional-related activities. So that's the gist of it here, you know, in terms of the definitions. Now, what specifically qualify as activities? Intercollegiate athletics. Okay, that some I think Fresno State, Chico State, they use quite a bit of their collections on that. We don't really have any intercollegiate, so we don't use it for that. Radio, television, film, costs related to provisions of basic hands-on experience not provided by the state. Purchase or rental of films as instructional aid shall not be included. again, they're not saying that it has to be used for radio, television, film. These are examples. So if you were to look at that, it's basically anything that is program related that can be considered facilitating hands-on experiences not provided by, you know, some of the other things that we're doing. The actual purchase of the materials needed to make that happen. So in this example, rental of the films, instructional aids, you can't use it for that. I'm not going to read through each one of these because I've got other things I'm going to talk about, but I would ask that each of you actually go into this link and just kind of familiarize yourself with each one of these things. Because again, as you begin to evaluate the applications, you'll have to do it through the lens of, you'll have to approve it or score it relative to what you see here. Any quick questions on that? All right. So, you know, for some of you that have been here a while, you know, what we have learned as time has gone on, that some of the instruction that we all have administered this program by has been defined internally. And if you think about it, it's in conflict, right? We can't, as a campus, redefine how IRA is used, and what different ways it can be used for. That's listed here in the educational code. So we've removed any internal reference to the way IRA can be used, and rather than be redundant, have started to point back to the education code in that regard. Here are some other examples of how we've used the fund on this campus. So performing arts, university chorus, jazz ensembles, rock ensembles, guest speakers, we do a lot of that. Student field trips, including domestic international travel. You can see some of those trips here. See, the Center for International Affairs is a great participant in the use of IRA fees, offers a lot of student experience. Trips to the Channel Islands, utilizing Santa Rosa Island Research Station. Student conferences, experiences, SACNUS National Conference, WPA National Conference. Several conferences that benefit students and the particular programs that they're enrolled in. Quick profile of actual distribution over the last 5 years, cumulative. So Performing Arts has been a great beneficiary of IRA. They have, over the last 5 years, utilized roughly $700,000 worth of IRA resources. And all the way down the scale, you see math isn't quite a heavy user. While this isn't a problem, our task this time around is to try to diversify and engage these folks at this level. So as part of the committee and as part of my team, we're trying to get the message out. And we've done it in a couple ways that engages this group down here to use more of the resources, the IRA resources that we have. I'm not sure why we haven't actually knocked on doors to ask why, you know, they haven't participated. Could very well be that the cost of what it is they're trying to accomplish does not match the level of need in this group here. Now, as far as, actually, this is 22. Apologize, a little typo on the fly. Fiscal year 22 budget is presented here, and this is what we're anticipating going into the next fiscal year. We're anticipating having a $1.4 million fund balance. Now, and for those that don't understand what a fund balance is, it's like a savings account, right? It's a cash balance account. So whatever we don't use from 1 year to the next rolls over into the cash balance. So over time, we have accumulated roughly $1.4 million. There's a little bit of background to that. Not all of that is simply not using it. We had an administrative issue where collections for one program, they were using IRA last or first and student fees second, and that wasn't really how it was intended. The idea is to use student fees first and then come in with what and backfill with whatever IRA funds you needed. Because we needed to correct real quickly for the student fee use, the student fee fund balance is pretty high. We've asked them not to participate in IRA And that they are a huge demand on IRA funds in order to spend down the course fee in, funds that they collected. So for the time being, they're not fully engaged, but when they come back, they'll start to use those resources to help us use them. That's what a fund balance is, and that's what I'm anticipating us starting the year with. We then will bring in the natural revenues that come in with student collections. We're anticipating roughly $400,000 in the fall semester, and then another $375,000 in the spring semester for a total of the year of $772,000. I'm going to ask that as a committee, we reach out and aggressively pursue stakeholders in the use of IRA. So I'm hoping that we can use $475,000. You all are going to be working on fall proposals right now. So the work that you're doing here is going to be in an effort to approve what we're planning on doing for the fall of this coming year, okay? So notice how we're bringing in through an estimated $393,000. I'm hoping that we can generate roughly $475 more spend than what the revenues we're going to bring, because we're going to try to tap into that. That's way too high. And then for spring of next year, we're going to try to do $700,000 worth of expense rather than and spend over the revenues that we got in, again, in order to spend that down. Even with that, if we're successful at that, we'll spend roughly $1.2 million. We'll run a deficit of $400,000. You can see we're basically knocking off that cash balance. We'll have $1 million left in fund balance. Now, what we try to do, good best practice is 5% of your revenue should be considered fund balance, right? You can see we're at 133%. So we've got a long way to bring that down. Any questions about that? Okay. IRA committee roles and responsibilities. The IRA committee provides award recommendations to the provost, okay? So what you do technically will be approved, but at the end of the day, the provost does have the opportunity to go, okay, I do appreciate this work. I'm gonna tweak a little bit or add or subtract from it. That's the role that the committee has. The provost will evaluate the committee's request and make modifications as necessary. The provost will then provide a list of recommended awards to the vice president of business and financial affairs for fiscal review. Once the fiscal review is complete, the list is provided to the university president for approval, and then notifications to awardees are sent out shortly after that. To add to that, the primary objectives of the committee are to allocate committee fees responsibly, reasonably, and equitably, raise awareness of committee fees and expenditures through transparent processes, and then advocate on behalf of the IRA, try to get more engagement across the campus. Application review. So this is where the bulk of your work will come from. During funding application review, committee members are to review and score each proposal using an IRA rubric. So it's not simply an up and down, it's a scoring against a rubric, and that more information on that will come shortly. I believe that's embedded in our InfoReady process. Rank proposals, funding priorities based on the rubric results, and then make funding recommendations based on final aggregated committee scores and available budget. So in a nutshell, what you're going to do is you're going to read each proposal, and then we've got a rubric established that prioritizes certain aspects of what the IRA committee represents. So GI 2025, graduation initiative, student experiences. That information is all in the rubric, and it's weighted based on prior committees' development. So you'll score the proposal based on that, and then you'll move on. And then at the end of that process, we'll come together and we'll look at the final scores, and we'll rank the proposals from greatest to least. And then the committee, depending on funding, will evaluate what gets moved forward as the committee's request and what doesn't. Now, so much of it in the past has been predicated on funding. We have plenty of that now. So more than likely, if you deem a proposal to be in compliance, that proposal will very well be funded. Any questions about that? Okay. I'm going through this pretty fast, so I apologize. Happy to talk about this whenever you feel, whenever you have questions.
Kirk, there's a couple yes. questions in the chat.
Okay, would you mind, because I'm not looking at this, may I ask that somebody bring this up to my attention?
Yeah, so Teresa Avila is asking, she was wondering if there was any language regarding recurring activities, and that was in reference to the education code.
There is no, you know, anything beyond that particular education code, there really isn't anything that defines how best to use IRA, right? So whether it's, you know,
one time, or...
yeah, there is certainly a lot of interpretation that can be taken from that language. And to be honest with you, Dr. Avila, I think that I want to have a conversation within a week or two with all of you to talk about how we can get a little bit more aggressive in the way we use IRA. My team has done a great deal of research, reaching out to institutions across the system, and you'd be surprised. It's like we're the only ones that really have put constraints on the way we use it. I'm not saying, you know, we go out, we buy Ferraris with it, but I do think that whether it, you know, we talk about, I'll give you one example. How about the STEM Center, right? You know how many students use the STEM Center? Those are instructional related. Those help support student graduation. They help support retention. All of those are important factors. Why can't IRA be used for that? Well, we've determined, you know, as a group that it can be. So I'd love to hear ideas that you all have, right, that for uses of IRA that fit within the guidelines or that we can tie to some extent to the guidelines of the education code. Once we establish that, I say we go out and we do advocate work. We go out and reach out to whatever program and say, hey, have you thought about this? And give them the opportunity to put together a proposal so that we can spend some of that money. The idea is to spend the money for instructional related activities. So I hope that answers your question, or, you know, to some extent, you dances around. I don't know. Hopefully answers some of it. Was there another one in there?
There is. Does the president and provost see projects that are not recommended by our committee?
There has never been, since I've been here, a situation where the provost hasn't supported what the committee has done. So that hasn't been tested yet. I would imagine that would not be an issue, that provost would indicate that, you know, the committee has recommended this, I've decided to make this change, and that sort of thing. The real takeaway from that is that the committee what's the word I'm looking for? They're advisory. You know, the committee isn't necessarily making the decision, but their voice and their recommendations are of high regard.
Are all requests forwarded to the provost, but they just see our recommendations on each of the requests, or are only the ones that we approve for approval forwarded to the provost?
Your final list of recommended proposals are what the provost sees. So if some of what came forward didn't get recommended, the provost would not see that.
Got it.
The provost is only going to recognize what the committee is recommending for his or her approval.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. So approaches to excess IRA fund balances. This is kind of a common theme I think by now you've picked up on that I need your help with. Leave applications open for additional proposals for spring 2021. This is what we've done. You know, normally we've had immediate cutoffs, right? So based on a typical IRA calendar, We convene, we score, you know, we bring in applications, we vet them, we score them, they get. What we're doing now is there is no time frame. As proposals come in, committee is tasked, or we request that committee's review, and then we move forward with it. You all haven't had the opportunity to do that yet, but I mean that is one option that we have, is leave the time frame open. class project materials, library subscription and materials. And then again, as I read through these, do recall what was what is present in the ED code. Cultural specific mentoring programs, programs focused on effective learning skills and strategies, parent and family engagement programs for historically underserved populations. And Dr. Avila, go ahead.
I don't think, are you saying that's active, that the proposals for spring 2021 will remain open and you will be willing to receive applications as they come? I don't think faculty know this. I just spoke to a faculty member yesterday who we were looking at a deadline and we saw that it had passed and she was very disheartened because she had just missed it. And so I don't think folks know that that's actually an option. And I will just add to that, I've also heard off the radar that one can actually apply for the entire year or a year in advance, right? Where previously it was understood, you know, you're applying one semester ahead for the next semester. And there seems to be possibly this option that, again, has not been formally announced as far as I can see or remember as faculty. So perhaps, you know, some of that would be helpful moving forward, especially if the 2021 deadline has been extended.
Mary, do you want to answer that part of the question?
Yeah, I think the spring 2021 was regarding to funding for this particular semester. And we did open that up for a couple of months. It's kind of closed now because it's a little bit late to have it go through the full process of being reviewed.
Why don't you talk to Dr. Avila and the team about the calendar, because that it took me a while to get my head wrapped around. So for, you know, again, the work that you all are doing is going to be for fall 2021. So there's that gap, right?
And also, I mean, what's in there for them to review once we open it up it's for the entire academic year. We usually, there are proposals in there for spring 2022 right now. It's the award cycle 2021 to 2022 was what was there. It did have a closing date, and I did want to bring that to the committee to see if we're still open to extending that, or do we want to extend it for a certain time period? Do we want to just leave it open and they can continue?
Let me interrupt real quick because I got 2 minutes, but that's a conversation that I'd like you to all have after I leave.
Okay.
But I do want to make sure, so to the second point that you raised, that has been an idea, not so much put in practice, but this idea of meeting every other semester to kind of, that's my 2:30. Where was I? I lost my train of thought. I don't, MSFT works in one calendar, you know, where the applications are solicited and approved and, you know, the whole thing, it ends in one semester. IRA takes two semesters and it is so clunky. So I have been a big champion of doing this once a year. And you know, but that's going to take an act of God, really. We need to have a more broader conversations about that, because Dr. Avila, I'll talk to you a little bit about maybe in our next meeting, some of what we have tried to accomplish in making modifications to IRA. I think we're in a good position to do that, but I do believe we have a great opportunity right now with the new provost to rethink the way that we do business with regards to IRA. I will end with this, guys, because I have to leave, but this is the calendar associated with IRA. And Mary, I'm going to let you talk about this. Dave, will you make Mary co-host? And are you able to, actually, I don't know if you have, can I forward you the presentation, then you talk about it? You're going to have to make Mary the co-host to talk about InfoReady anyways. Did we lose? Is Dave still here?
He's still here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay.
Working on it.
Yeah. All right, folks. Let's set up a meeting within the next couple of weeks just to kind of talk. I'd like to have more time just to talk and hear what you have to say about this. In the meantime, don't hesitate to reach out to me and we can have one-on-ones. talk about, you know, whatever unique ideas that you have. Okay, take care. And Mary, do you want to start with the your InfoReady presentation?
Yeah, I'll move on to that.
All right.
Also see what people think about the possibility of reopening the portal for people like Dr. Avila just mentioned, who missed the funding deadline, to give more opportunity with the theory that we have this large fund balance that we really have an obligation to spend down. The money should go to the students who paid into it rather than future year students.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, Mary, for the reasons you just said, as long as it can be pulled off administratively, we should be trying to spend it this year so that it can benefit the students that paid the fee, right? And so as long as we can process those applications in time to get it to those faculty in the courses to benefit this semester, then why not open it back up for this cycle?
And Mary, I agree as well.
I also agree, and I think it was not a huge burden for any of us to do it over the break. I there were maybe four or five, so it wasn't a major push. I don't see anything wrong with it, especially if we're trying to spend down that money.
Yeah, and a lot of the work as far as the committee has for reviewing the proposals is done asynchronously. We have an application process through InfoReady, where the applicants submit their proposals, and then once they're all in, I accept them, and then I assign the committee as reviewers, and you go in and follow the rubric, take a look at each policy, and approve it. And when we're in a situation that we're in right now, where we have more fund balance than proposals, as long as it's meeting the ed code, you know, we should be approving everything.
That's great. Can I ask another question, Mary?
Sure.
On one of the slides, it talked about funding, expanding the funding to support parent and family programs. And so could you talk a little bit more about that? Because I didn't realize, I didn't realize that IRA fees could go towards that. And so that's something that Student Affairs would definitely be interested in, because we have that program, and I don't think we've ever tried to tap into IRA funds for that purpose.
I think that's it's a possibility, but I think it does need to be tied to the formal instructional programs.
And so that's what I was wondering, how does that need to be connected to a course, or is it how would that work? So I don't know who we speak to offline about that a little bit, but yeah, I'd love to connect our director over that program with someone to figure out how that can work.
It basically, you would need to look at the ed code and try to align it with the ed code, and keep in mind that it needs to be tied to the course offerings. Maybe see if you can be doing jointly with an instructional program. But it really is up to the committee to...
Of course. Yeah. It's just something we hadn't even, I don't think we haven't even explored it before as an option. So can look at that.
There is one example, actually, if I may speak on that. It's underutilized, but there is an IRA, as Mary said, it would still have to be tied into an instructionally related course or a course offering. The example that comes to my mind that has used IRA funds in the past for that connection is Noche de Familia. Mm-hmm. But this is tied specific to classes within Chicana Studies. And then at that event, you know, it's the students participating in the class, and of course open to all CI students that pay into the fee. So there is outreach and a bit of marketing there to say, it's not just for our Chicana Studies class, please come. But guest speakers will come to that event, but also parents of those students are invited.
Right.
So when I saw that line as well in the slide, that is the one and only IRA example I can think of. So I think that's why we're like, well, hey, just in consideration as we keep talking about that, we do have a bit of a precedent there, and then we can talk about expanding.
Okay, right. Great. Yeah. Yeah. Because I know that's something that with Vice President DeBoni, she's trying to look at how to expand that area as well. So yeah, I can talk to her about that. Great.
So Dave, can you make it so that I can share the screen? Or
I did make you co-host.
Okay.
Sure. I tried. I told me it worked on my side. Whether or not it worked on yours, I hope.
Okay. So you see my screen here with the application. I'm pulling up from last year's applications. When, as a committee member, once I assign you as a reviewer, and maybe like Elizabeth King or Lisa can give you a little more detail on what it looks like from their end, because you see it a little differently than I do, but you'll get an email with a link that you have proposals to review. Those might show up if you're on Outlook, it might show up in your other file rather than the focused inbox. So I'll try to, if I'm sending out a bunch of them, I'll try to send out an email to let you know to keep your eye out for those links. And then you can follow the link, make sure you sign on using your your CI login. And you'll be able to review the proposal, take a look at who it is. They'll have the total amount here that they're asking for. And then off to the side, there will be links to additional budget workbook or additional attachments that they have that for you to review. And then there will be a summary of what their expectations are with the activity, what's going to happen, what they think the outcomes of that will be. They'll list the date that they expect for it to happen, the classes, and maybe this kind of answers Dottie's question, the classes that relate to the proposal. And then the learning outcomes relations to the course offering, and a little more information. And then you will, I don't know what it looks like from the reviewer's end, but I can look to see, it was approved by the chair, the dean, and then the committee goes on to score it with four being the highest thing. So I don't know if anyone has any questions. About that?
I'll just say it's very user-friendly. The only weird stuff that ever happens is if faculty members submit things that are incomplete or they submit weird stuff with their budget, but by and large, it's super easy to use.
Yeah, and you can kind of pause in your review, and if you have questions or things that don't make sense or that you want additional information from the proposer, we can go back and ask them and provide you with that if that's what you need to complete your review.
Yeah, and the only other tip I would add, and it is in the instructions, but you may be like me and kind of oversee it, but basically there's comment boxes after you rate according to the rubric, each of the various categories. And the comments box won't let you move on without entering something in it. So you just put in and not applicable and /A if you don't have any additional comments. So, but sometimes it's helpful, at least for me, to kind of give my perspective a little bit more as to why I'm ranking it the way I am.
Any other questions or feedback? Dave, maybe you can tell us about what future meetings would look like.
And actually, we put together that presentation through PowerPoint administratively it has not been sent out to you guys, which we can certainly do. But that has a calendar on it. So basically, now that our applications are mostly in, Mary's going to set you all up with your committee access to info ready. Of course, reach out to either of us for questions as you go through. And then typically we want, you know, 2 or 3 review meetings per semester. So we've got 3 of those already scheduled. I sent those Outlook invitations out. Or did I? No. Yes, I did. Sorry, little mental lapse there. So the next one I want to say is the 14th, and then they're weekly thereafter, so that we like to finish everything, since it's a student fee committee, before students take finals, or ideally before quiet week or dead week, as some refer to it. So basically, we will have between now and the next meeting a couple weeks, just so you have the time to go through all the proposals we have in right now. With leaving that application window open, we might get a few more. Right now we're at 35. And again, we have the fund balance that if as a committee we deem them all appropriate and matching with the education code, we should be approving those. Those total out to be about 415K as we stand now. So if we get a few more, we'll match the estimate that Kirk referred to on the fiscal year 22 outlook budget summary. So, so that's our meeting schedule coming up. I will make sure that calendar is on the website. There is one, I'm not sure if it's most up to date, but just to prepare you, you've got a couple weeks to digest, to go through all the proposals, to ask questions before we reconvene. And then of course we'll take any topics from there.
So I just want to add in to that about reopening the portal right now. I don't know if we should put an end date on it. Typically, we also have another funding cycle that officially opens up for spring. People can apply for spring now, but should we just leave the portal open up all year?
Well, what would be the appropriate cutoff for processing? Like, I can't imagine we can leave it open all year, right? For them to actually receive the money and spend the money in the fiscal year. So.
Yeah,
maybe I'm wrong, but is there, when's like the latest time that they can actually receive the money in order to spend it within the fiscal year? And, like, we can kind of work back from there.
Yeah, it really varies by the proposal. A lot of them, the internal process of getting it, like getting the accounting string set up, isn't too arduous. Having it get approved by the committee and then through, go on to the provost and that whole process. It's probably not something we want to do onesie, twosie. We would want to have like a lump sum of proposals so that we're not overburdening, budget or the provost with a lot of individual proposals. So.
But could we do like a couple review dates, right? So that way, because if we left it open kind of all year, but that was maybe like mid-May or something.
Oh, no, yeah, nothing like that. Ideally,
what are we talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, ideally it would be around the beginning of the spring semester would be really the latest that we would want to be accepting proposals and have them have a chance to go through the process and
the beginning of the spring semester.
The spring semester. So the spring semester next year.
Oh, okay. So we're not doing any. I'm sorry. Maybe I misunderstood. I thought you were talking about this semester right
now.
Oh
no.
Any more nominations? Any more applications?
I think we have one in there that I had missed had come in that I'll ask the committee to review for the semester that that should be a fairly easy one.
Okay, so we're not talking about allowing any more applications for right now.
Right, right. I'm talking about for next academic year, because the proposals that we have in place right now for the period that just ended on Sunday for them to apply for, those are for next academic year.
Okay, sorry. I misunderstood that. I thought that that's what we were saying, is that there's still money on the table and students have paid into the, and students have paid into the fee. Yeah. So let's get them the money right now. Yeah.
We probably extended that as far as we could.
Okay. Well, so if as far as we could was end of March, then should we just follow a similar timeline for next year then?
Yeah, I mean, and Dave can tell you, I think in the past we did two distinct application periods. One was for all of the academic year, and the other was like another chance where we opened up the portal for only spring. So there's not like a specific fall one. It was all academic year, including fall and spring, and then an additional opportunity for just spring. And I'm suggesting, instead of having a specific spring one, if we just leave the fall one open.
I would say that makes a ton of sense, just from like my kind of understanding of how faculty are assigned courses. I put it in the chat, but it makes the most sense to me to leave it open as long as possible, especially over that winter break. Mm-hmm. So many of our lecturers do not know what classes they're going to be teaching until all the students have registered. And so even over in December, I knew lecturers who were getting reassigned classes that they had or hadn't taught before that maybe they would have liked to have applied for funding for. And they, if it closes early, they have no opportunity to apply for that. And I also think, I know that Kirk mentioned that he really wants us to do outreach on this, that our lecturers don't know that they can really apply for these funds, and they're teaching the majority of our classes. So I think that kind of needs to be the biggest push, is outside of the tenure track line of folks who are like at the Academic Senate. Also for me personally, the main person who's requesting IRA funds for a project that I'm on is on sabbatical in the fall. So it's going to be really helpful to have that spring break or even some summertime to submit that. So I would appreciate it from a structural kind of perspective on that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think just leaving it open and then just having review periods, right? So that way we're making sure we're moving them forward as like different lumps, rather than like rolling, but moving forward as well.
Yeah, we can consider that as a committee. We could make our own kind of internal cutoffs where folks could just apply whenever they want, so to speak. And of course, they won't want to apply for guest speaker in the same week they're doing finals, you know, so.
Right.
I was going to say, we should probably, if we're going to set deadlines internally, have our students set that about when is going to work best around their schedules to be reviewing a heavy load of material.
That's true.
I think we've been mindful of that over the long term. And the reason why we, although to Teresa's point could be, and Liz's point to be more, I guess, maybe more representation or more at least awareness made at the faculty level, so maybe at Academic Senate. Because on our website now, we have accepted applications for fall of 2021, which is the bulk of what you guys will review, but we also accepted proposals for any time during the entire academic year. And we put that in place years back, but maybe we need to be more, we champion that message a little more. One example that comes to my head is like international trips, for example, pandemic notwithstanding, that's been a huge quell to those, of course, but you know, international vendors and destinations just take a lot more time to organize. So we allowed those gates to open up more for folks that want to pre-plan that far in advance. Maybe they have to give a deposit, you know, 6 to 9 months before students arrives. And that's problematic if they don't have a reviewed proposal, an active accounting string, things like that. So we could do more, I guess, you know, awareness of keeping that
keeping the gates open longer. We have our internal dates, and then we can communicate back with faculty saying, great, thank you for your proposal. We'll be able to review this such and such.
Any more questions, or do we want to finish up a little early? That's always good.
I had a quick question, mostly because I'm brand new to this. I know that it talked about the fees could be used for materials in a course. Do these materials need to be consumed by the course, and how would that apply to future virtual or asynchronous courses?
Typically what we're looking for is an instructional experience. So we wouldn't be like purchasing equipment that wouldn't be consumed during the semester by the students, you know, who are the ones paying the fee. It's more like consumable things that are part of the instructional process. I think in the example that Kirk had brought up, it was saying that it wouldn't, I think it was contrasting that the fees could be used for like student film. I think that would be for the students to produce the film rather than for the students to passively watch a film.
Right.
The difference there. It's where it's involving students in an activity, an instructional activity.
Right. I know one of the courses that I'd partake in was a research course that was funded through one of these grants that we went out to Santa Rosa Island for data collection.
Right.
But I was just wondering if the fees had to be used for only the experience, because I or if it could be used for some of the materials needed to develop the experiment to go to the island and conduct everything.
That's a real iffy area, and it would be at the judgment of the committee. As long as it's something that kind of is getting used up by the students, not something that's like of a lasting value to be used by future classes.
Got it.
It would be.
Right. Yeah, it's a gray area too with course fee, because there's course fees, right? So there's category three course fees, and then these are IRA fees. So it's a different intention of really like a user fee for a specific course in a course fee. And then can be broader collected like enhancements for student experiences related to instructional activities.
Right.
And we have they can be similar, but they're also meant to be different.
And we have that you have MSFT as well, which you kind
that's
of
right. Was, and that's right. MSFT would be more the one that we would use to buy equipment to support education. Right.
So okay. if it helps you understand it, I always think about, is there a committee for this thing that is not the IRA? So like if the thing that's going to exist beyond one semester, it's MSFT. If it's like, you know,
exactly
various areas, like there is a thing for that. So
got it. Because I remember just being part of the course, and I know it in part was funded through this opportunity. I just I just didn't know exactly what part of it was funded. And if I'm trying to advocate to professors I know, projects I know going on, I just want to make sure I'm conveying the right, if you have this kind of idea, maybe
would
help.
Right.
It was probably the travel. That was probably what was funded to get out. It was probably the actual travel out to the island where the consumable like stuff for the experiment came from MSFT. So,
got it.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you.
It's a good question we all kind of struggle a little bit with. Anything else? So are we on for our next meeting then? Dave is
You had the calendar up there, and I don't have it off the top of my head. Was it let me see
if I can pull it. Second, I'm going to try to share my screen because I believe
it was April 14th at I think 2:30.
Yeah, that sounds right, Max. Thank you. Let's see. Correct. The winner is Max. right. So then we'll go. This area here is basically every week, but we've got some time here to kind of. Give you all the opportunity to look through all the proposals, make your recommendations as you deem appropriate. You don't have to have them all done by the 14th, so we have flexibility there. But so that way you've got your time to kind of digest that, ask some questions, and then we'll have some review period here too. So Max, like the question you just had, hey, what about, related equipment that comes associated with an IRA proposal, the committee as a group could discuss, or I will use a very, very exaggerated example. A few years back, we had a proposal that requested flower arrangements, not fake flowers, but real flowers. And the committee at that time said, well, I'm sure it would make a beautiful presentation for this guest speaker in this event, but we're a sustainable campus. Flowers don't last very long. That's a lot of money to request as part of this proposal. At that time, nowhere near the fund balance that we had today. And they approved everything else about that event, but just not that line item expense request for the flowers. So just keep that in mind too, as you're looking through, you could say, wow, this is a great proposal. I wonder why they want this. I'm not sure if that matches the educational code or my understanding of what these fees are supposed to be used for. Let me bring that to the committee discussion on April 14th. So just something to keep in mind between now and our next meeting.
Okay, and probably starting tomorrow, you might start seeing the proposals make their way towards you for review. So check your other box every once in a while.
All right, well, thank you all so much, and Mary, and I will reach out to Viviana. I was hoping to catch her, hoping to have her here at this meeting. Thanks so much for your questions too, and your work on reviewing everything. So I'll put the calendar on the website, and thanks again. I'll make sure those meeting invites got sent as well.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much,
everyone.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one.